I was reading Rabbi Sacks this week, and he had a couple of really good articles on today's Torah portion. The one that I'm mostly going to be in is called Defining Reality. The lead paragraph of that I will read to you. This is Rabbi Sacks' words. One of the gifts of great leaders, and one from which each of us can learn, is that they frame reality for the group. They define its situation. They specify its aims. They articulate its choices. They tell us where we are and where we are going in a way that no satellite navigation system could. They show us the map and the destination and help us to see why we should choose this route and not that. That is one of the most magisterial roles, and no one did it more powerfully than did Moses in the book of Deuteronomy. Now, what he's saying there is events happen, and events don't inherently have any meaning. So I drop this and it falls to the floor. That's an event. I can figure out why it fell to the floor, but what does it mean? Well, in this case, nothing except I'm making an example. But the point that Sacks is making is Deuteronomy is going to go into a long list of very detailed laws. And what Moses is doing up front is he is telling Israel what the meaning of all of that is, so that they can put each one of those laws into the context of meaning. We just read a bunch of them. You can eat this, you can't eat that, you got to bring your stuff here, you can't bring it there, etc., etc. And what Moses is saying in his opening paragraph in today's Torah portion is an example. I am setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside from the way that I am commanding you today. So what he's saying to you is, all right, you're going to get a whole bunch of really detailed laws. Why are they important? Well, they're important because if you follow them and organize your society based on the laws of the Torah, you will get blessed. If you do something different, you're going to get cursed. That's why all of these little laws are necessary. So you've got to go through and pay attention to them, and you've got to follow them if you want the blessing. And of course, we know from history that Israel eventually would always drift into idol worship and off into other gods and so forth. So what he's done is given us a big picture. And that's what Sacks is talking about, is the big picture of the Torah. And he puts obedience into a larger context. It's not just, oh, you ate a rabbit. Why don't you eat a rabbit? It's context. And what the Torah gives you is a framework for handling things that are not specified. Let me give you an example. You will read later, we didn't read today, that one of the things in the Torah is, you shall not muzzle an ox when it's treading out the grain. Well, I don't own any oxen. And furthermore, I don't have any grain fields. So that doesn't apply to me. Paul says, yes, it does. Because in Corinthians, Paul goes back to that law in the Torah, and he says, as you don't muzzle the ox that's treading out the grain, so you should not muzzle the preacher who is preaching your word. So what he's done is he's taken that law and he's applied it to a different situation than oxen and grain. And that's the whole purpose. This Torah is a short book. I mean, it seems like forever when you're listening to it, but it's a short book. So it isn't possible in a short book like that for God or Moses to specify everything that could happen. So what he did is he laid out principles. And he says, all right, these are the principles on which I want you to organize your society. And when situations come up that aren't spelled out here, go back to the book and say, all right, now, what's close? And the example I always use is traffic laws. There's nothing about speeding on I-25 in the Torah. It just isn't. But In the Torah, it does say that you shall care for your neighbor as you care for yourself. So if you're driving 120 miles an hour down I-25, you are endangering people. You're not loving your neighbor as yourself. So you can take principles and you can apply them to other things. Now, the other thing Sachs talks about, which I'm going to mostly talk about, is, remember I said events can be explained. I drop my piece of paper, gravity grabs it and pulls it to the floor. We can explain that. As I say, it doesn't inherently have any meaning. Meaning is something that is assigned to events by people or by God. Meaning is something that requires intelligence to assign. And so what Moses is doing is he's giving meaning to all of these random little laws. And what he's saying here is, if you follow those laws, things are just going to go good for you. If you don't follow those laws and you go off to other gods, hey guys, you're not the biggest, most powerful nation in the world. You're going to be among nations around you who have got more wealth, they're bigger, they're more powerful, etc. Furthermore, you aren't the best people in the world. You're just like everybody else. And the only reason I'm talking to you is because I chose you by my own choice, because your ancestors followed me. So that's the only thing that makes you special, is your ancestors followed me, and I've loved your ancestors, and I pledged to love you, so that's why I'm talking to you. But don't get the idea that you are somehow hotshots. You're not. The only reason I'm giving you this land is because the people in that land have gotten so corrupt that I can't stand the smell anymore, and I'm going to get them out of there. I'm going to put you in there. And if you start acting like they did, the same thing is going to happen to you. If, however, you behave in the way that I'm trying to teach you to behave, then you're not going to smell like dirty diapers to me. And I am going to be your portion and your shield. Which is to say, all these big empires around you are going to look at you and say, tasty. But I'm going to be your shield. And they are not going to be able to prevail against you. However, if you look just like them, then I'm not going to be your shield. And all of these hungry empires around you are going to be able to gobble you up, because I will cease to defend you. That's what Moses is saying. And when they go astray, God sends them a prophet and says, folks, you're off in the weeds here. You need to come back to me if you want my protection and you want my blessing. They don't. So the other thing that Sachs talks about, which I completely agree with, is following God's way is not unpleasant. It's not onerous. As I said last time, the three key words in Deuteronomy, one is joy, one is love, and one is justice. How many times did he tell you, come up to the place where I'm going to put my name and rejoice? Furthermore, you can bring your tithe and you can buy as much beer as you want and as many animals as you want, and you can have a party. I mean, that's what he says. He didn't say beer, but wine or strong drink, and that in those days was beer. So the whole idea here is this should be a relationship that brings you joy. It should not be anything, oh, well, shoot. No bacon for me. I can hardly stand it. No bacon. The whole point here is this should be something that brings joy because of your relationship to God and because he's blessing you because you have such a relationship. So, what Moses is saying here, among other things, is the future is yours to choose. You get to choose what kind of future you and your descendants will have. Really straightforward. You can choose a future that is wonderful and glorious and prosperous, or you can choose a future that's not. And I'm telling you, this is how you make that choice. by your behavior. Now, I'm going to switch over a little bit to Sachs's other article, which is also talking about meaning. What do things mean? And what he's talking about there is, as I said before, events have causes and they can be explained. That's what science does. In my little example, if I drop my piece of paper, we know from studying science that gravity will grab it and it'll hit the floor, unless I catch it before it goes down. But there's no inherent meaning to that. That's just the way the world works. So finding meaning requires interpretation, requires somebody to interpret things. There's a movie. Many of you have seen it. If you hadn't, I recommend it. It's called Ushpizin. It is in Hebrew with subtitles. It is wonderful. To sort of set the stage for those of you who haven't seen it, there's this couple, and the guy has become a rabbi, used to be kind of a really rough guy, has become a rabbi. He and his wife are poor, and she is barren. And the thing they want more than anything is children. So it's set at Sukkot, and there's a rich man who has a list of people he gives money to, and one of the people that he normally gives money to is moved. So he said, who's the next guy on the list? So he gives money to this poor rabbi. So now I've got enough money that I can celebrate Sukkot. And he gets a sukkah and so forth. And the whole deal, Ushpizin means the guests. And so he's got a sukkah set up and all that kind of stuff. And two of his old buddies have escaped from prison and they show up in his sukkah. And these two guys are jerks. And they remember the rabbi from when he was also a jerk and a criminal. And so they're expecting him to still be a jerk. And he's doing, I'm not that way anymore. The key there to the movie, the whole thing, is he gets angry and throws them out. And his wife said, you did what? Don't you see that this was a test? So his wife gives meaning to the events. She says, don't you see this is a test? So they go out and find these two guys and bring them back. And at the end of the movie, she does conceive and bears a son. But the whole point of that is this is a wild, difficult situation with these two jerks in the middle of a religious community and the rabbi trying to keep things under control, and his wife understanding this is a test. God has set this up to see how we're going to react. And so once he agrees with his wife and says, okay, fine, and brings it back, and they say at the end of the movie, they do conceive and have a son. It's a lovely movie, and if you haven't seen it, we have a DVD, and we'd be happy to lend it to you. It's absolutely delightful. So, for us, as for Israel, Scripture gives you a framework for interpreting events and giving them meaning. So that's the whole point of the little story with Ushpizin. She's a religious Jew, and she looks at this situation and says, this situation really stinks. Why? Well, this must be a test. And she then proceeds accordingly. And so what Scripture does for everybody, us included, you got to read it in order to know this, is it gives you a framework for looking at the events in your life and deciding what the meaning of those events is. Because events don't inherently have any meaning. It's only people that give events meaning. And of course, God will cause events and other people will cause events in your life. Now, one of the things is that you get to choose what the meaning is. Everybody know who Jordan Peterson is? Jordan Peterson is a Canadian psychiatrist that became very famous and still is very famous, was an agnostic and has now become a Christian. Anyway, Rabbi Sachs says, I felt that I needed to go meet this guy. So he travels to Canada and meets Jordan Peterson. And during that process, Peterson talks about his daughter who had some terrible childhood disease, some kind of an arthritis thing. And before she was 20, she had had to have a hip replacement and an ankle replacement. Those are events. What Peterson said to his daughter is, you must not regard yourself as a victim here. In other words, you must not say, oh, why me, etc. And his daughter has finally overcome those and is pretty much functional now. But Sack says, that conversation is the reason I was moved to go see this guy. And again, the young woman and her parents had no control over the events. I mean, they did all the medical intervention, but the young lady still had to have a hip replaced and an ankle replaced. But what they could do is they could interpret those events. And does that mean that I am some kind of a victim and the universe is against me and nothing is ever going to go right in my life because everybody's after me, God included? And what he says is, you may not have that attitude. And she didn't, and as I say, she eventually overcome. Now, what being a victim does is it focuses you on the past. You look at all the bad stuff that's happened in your life, and everybody here has got a lot of that, me included. So one way you can do is you can look back on all that and you can remember it and you can be bitter. Well, the other thing you can do is saying, all right, this is where I am right now. How do I get to where I want to go next? That's looking forward. So you can either look forward or back, your choice. You get to choose. And what I'm suggesting to you, as Sachs is suggesting to you, and Peterson is suggesting to you, is don't focus on the problems you've had in the past. Focus on where you want to go from where you are now. All right, I just had a car wreck. So what do I do next? Not, oh, woe is me. Everything happens to me. No matter what, that kind of thing. That could be your attitude. And you could then sit there and whine and moan about the fact that you have a car accident. Or you can say, what do I do now? Call the insurance agent, get it fixed, or have it towed, or whatever I have to do, and I will move on because I have a goal in life. And this is a bump in the road, and I need to move forward. Now, let me give you one more cosmic piece of meaning. Remember I said that Scripture gives you a framework to interpret the events that happen in your life. And if you bounce the events against Scripture, you have a pretty good start. The purpose of the universe is to raise children of God. That's why God made it. There are going to be all sorts of events that happen to you. Many of them are going to be unpleasant. But if you understand that the purpose of all of this is to raise sons and daughters of God, that gives you a way to avoid being bitter, to avoid being a victim, and to keep your focus on what you need to do next as you are moving toward the kingdom of God. That's your big picture. Let me give you another example. G.K. Chesterton, Catholic writer, turn of the 19th century. He said, every profession among humanity has one purpose, and that purpose is to support the homemaker. Everything we do, the purpose is to support the homemaker, because that's where the next generation is. And the same thing is true of this universe. Everything that exists is to create children of God.